As I was preparing this message, I was reading the text from the New Revised Standard Version, and it uses this word proclaim. It repeatedly says, proclaim a message, and then the prophet says, what message shall I proclaim? And this proclamation idea comes up again and again, and it made me think of the band, the Proclaimers. Has anybody heard of the band The Proclaimers? They have a very famous song, which I'm not sure if I should sing it or not. But the byline is, well, I'll try. And I would walk 500 miles, and I would walk 500 miles, just to be the man who walks 1,000 miles to fall down at your door. Did anyone recognise that, what I was trying to say? Just probably only two, so I'm sorry about that. There's a lot of proclaiming that goes on in this passage from Isaiah today, and it really struck me, all this proclaiming. And so I did some maths, and I discovered that if I walked 500 miles, and then 500 miles more, a bit like the song by the Proclaimers, I would have walked roughly the distance between Babylon and Jerusalem. I checked on a map, and it's about 900 and something miles, and I thought the Proclaimers, the band, may not have realised how they were going to be used by God in this message here at Stoke today. But interestingly, proclaim a message. And the prophet Isaiah is proclaiming. He's crying out. He's exclaiming to a people who are in bondage. They're a long way away from where they wanted to be. To a people yearning for restoration and for deliverance. So it's an interesting proclamation. And Peter, can you give me another slide? And what does he say? He kind of says, get real about yourselves, you people of God. Look at the mirror. We're nothing. There's not a lot to us. In fact, we're not much better than grass. And I noticed today that the Nelson grass is very similar to the Christchurch grass. It is withering. It is getting dry. And any minute now it's going to be blown away, and we'll be left with just a memory of the green grass that once was. And the prophet knew that this image, this idea of grass that's withering and drying up and getting blown away, the prophet knew that it was a very relatable idea, even to Kiwis 4,000 or so years later, and a very appropriate image to make use of, because in the Middle East, it's just like Stoke in the summer, except hotter. And to walk 500 miles and then another 500, we would very likely end up just like the grass. And that's because we're not very substantial. We have not got what it takes to survive. And we're going to end up withered and spent and dry and dying. And we need the most unlikely of things. We need a miracle of God for there to be any surviving, any renewal, or any hope at all. It's in God's hands. Because we are just grass. And we're fools if we think we can fix the mess we find ourselves in. And we need to get real. Because, you know, at any and every stage of life, we're just a step away from nothingness. I'm probably preaching to the choir when I say that. You probably already know that. We're like grass, Isaiah says. We come and we go. We're transitory. And who among us don't feel like that? We feel like that. We're pretty transitory. If we're really honest, that's why people talk about having bucket lists. Because they know they haven't got long. The sun's beating down, and we sense the withering starting on us even today. And thank goodness for those machines up there that are keeping us a bit cool. It's true that we're fragile. And we see that when loved ones die, and we see it when we get sick, and we even see it when our hopes and our dreams for the church don't pan out the way we thought they should do. We can't pull it off. Not on our own. So there's our fallen human grass-like state and our transitoriness, but there's also verse 8, God's word that lasts forever. Oh, what a contrast. What an absolute contrast. And we, I reckon, are being poked by the prophet. We're being reminded. We're being called to pause and to take stock and to consider and to get real. And maybe in that pausing and considering and getting real, there's an opportunity for repentance as we remind ourselves about who we are and who God is. And during Advent, these few weeks before the celebration, the big day, when the madness of Christmas tends to trick us into being too busy, you know, I don't know what you do at your place, but I spend most of the few weeks before Christmas turning the radio down and avoiding the TV and clearing out the letterbox of the rubbish, junk mail. And the reminder, though, at this time that we're just like grass and that we're small and insignificant, it's a good reminder. This is the perfect time, Advent, to stop and to think about the big picture and to think about our smallness and to dwell also on God's goodness and God's lavish goodness that we're remembering at this time. And when we do that, we're reminded that God is coming. So walking 1,000 miles confirms that we're just grass. Probably can't do it. That we're small and that we're weak and that we're temporary. That's the first thing that Isaiah says. And Pink, can you give me another slide? The second thing is that God is coming. Maybe it's God who's walking the 500 miles and then another 500. Maybe it's God who's doing all the traveling. One of the special things that happens at Christmas is that there are homecomings and there are reunions. Sometimes they're a bit tricky and painful, but they're meant to be joyous and thrilling, and I certainly hope that they will be for all of us in the room as we think about Christmas this year. But we get a little glimpse here in verses 9 and 10 of Isaiah 40 regarding the thrill of reunion. Verse 9, Jerusalem, go up on a high mountain and proclaim the good news. Call out with a loud voice, Zion. Announce the good news. Speak out and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah that their God is coming. The sovereign Lord is coming to rule with power, bringing with him the people he has rescued. It's an incredible image of what God's promise is. Now, there are several ways to react to this. We can analyze it. We can analyze the history of the people of God from those times, and we can keep it all at arm's length. Well, yes, we know that they were taken away into captivity, and we know what happened, and we can work our way through the historical stuff. We could notice that the coming of Jesus is the real fulfillment of God's promise. But, you know, there's always a risk, and the Christmas comes around fairly regularly and almost monotonously, and we sing the same songs, although it was good to sing my favourite this morning, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. I love that one. And, you know, we sing these things every year, and there's always the risk of being in a rut and just processing it like we always do. Today in Stoke, we might celebrate the work of God and the appointment of a pastor as further evidence of God's visitation among us. But here's what we really need to do. Prepare. Prepare. Get ready. Clean the house. You know, what happens when the family comes home for Christmas? I've got a fairly good idea that most of the people in this room, they'd be focused on cleaning the house, getting the groceries sorted, making up the spare beds, you know, all that. Get ready. In this context, maybe the getting ready is thinking about what's in here, thinking about the heart, noticing perhaps where there's a bit of cleaning needs to be done, a few cobwebs maybe that need to be tidied away, cleaned out. Maybe spot the evidence inside of ourselves that we're like dry grass and we're at risk of being blown away, which could lead to us humbling ourselves ever so slightly as we bend the knee in preparation for He who's coming and praying about the task of what proclaiming looks like for the people of Stoke Baptist Church. Because tied up in the arrival is this interesting call to speak it out boldly. And that's a call that comes to a people in Stoke who have said yes to Jesus and who are certain. I've seen you people in action a couple of times over the last year, and when you get together for worship, it's one of the more energetic churches, I have to say, when you're standing here and worshiping. You're convinced about His kingdom. And we're convinced that His kingdom hasn't come in all its fullness yet. And so there's some ongoing proclaiming to occur, because it's not done yet. How does Stoke Baptist Church prepare? How does Stoke Baptist Church prepare today? And finally, one more slide. The last thing is about receiving it. It's a very comforting way that this passage begins and ends, actually. And there's an invitation in this passage to receive. This passage, it starts with and ends with real beauty and with reassurance and with a glimpse into what God thinks of people, especially His people, what God thinks of His people. And it's truly beautiful. We might well be a little more than grass if we humble ourselves and look in the mirror honestly. But guess what? God is coming. And this passage tells us that God loves us. God loves His people. Comfort my people, verse 1, says our God. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort them. It repeats itself in case we missed it the first time. Encourage the people of Jerusalem. Tell them that they've suffered for long enough, that their sins are now forgiven. I've punished them in full for all these sins. And then at the end, verse 11 of Isaiah 40. These words are beautiful words. This is God's view of Stoke Baptist Church. He will take care of His flock like a shepherd. He will get, listen to this, He will gather the lambs and carry them in His arms. I mean, that's rare. That sort of imagery, that is what God is thinking when God looks at Stoke Baptist Church. And as was mentioned earlier in the service, the Spirit of the Lord is here with us today. And the disposition of the Spirit of the Lord towards the people of Stoke Baptist Church, that's the image. He wants to carry us in His arms. It's so beautiful. He will gently lead their mothers. And you notice the repetition there. He will care for His flock. That's the people in this room. That's the Stoke Baptist Church. He will carry them in His arms. What an image of compassion and gentle love God has for the Stoke Baptist Church to sit with. It's so lovely. And He will gently lead the mothers. This beautiful imagery of what God thinks of His people. And we are invited. We are invited to receive it again today. To receive His love. So what do the people of God look like who are receiving this love? What do they do? What do they say? How do they act, those people who have received this love? And who do they love as a result of having been loved themselves? Oh, I'm not going to answer any of those questions. I'm going to throw them out and then catch my plane back home. But you've got to answer those questions. What are we like, having been loved like that? What are we like, Stoke Baptist Church? Well, what will we do? What will we say? And how will we love? Thinking about how much God has loved. Stoke Baptist Church, get real. We are little. We're not much different to grass. Not really. Get ready. Get prepared. There's a reunion coming. And it's going to be quite the party. Speak up about it. And get on with receiving what he brings. Safe in the comfort of a God who loves you. Thank you.